Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hope Singapore and welcome to Hope Global. We are so glad that you have taken the time to join us today. So either you're watching us from Singapore or from anywhere around the world, we love you and we're so glad that you have taken the time to really join us. You know, we do not only want to just keep in contact with you on the online platform, we really love to connect with you. So would you please do me this big favor? If you are new, would you please type the word new, N-E-W, in the chat group, either on Facebook or on Church Online. We would really love to connect with you. Our online minister would love to connect with you, get to know you, and even pray prayer of blessing over you. You are important to God and you are valuable to us. You know, in the beginning of this year, our church, we took the time to fill in this victory card. And on this victory card, we wrote things that we are trusting God to give about His victory in our life. We wrote down things that we are trusting God for victories in. So since then, some 9 months later, the cards has already been given back to you either through your pastoral leader or the card has already been given back to you via mail. I like to look at your cards. I'm sure there are many things that God has already done in your life. So if you have any victories, please share with us. As a church, we would really love to celebrate with you. Well, for some of us, there are certain areas we are still waiting for God's victory. I want to let you know that you are not alone. We would love to continue to journey with you. We'll pray with you. I want to let you know that God is still in control. God is still in charge. Our God is a faithful God. Amen. Well, this week, we're going to look at the last part of our three-part series entitled Holy Spirit, the Enabler of Our Victory. In part number one, we learn about how the Holy Spirit helped us to live our life anew. In part number two, last week, we learn about how the Holy Spirit enabled us to have power. Well, this week, I want to talk to us about how the Holy Spirit helped us when we need hope. Let me begin by telling us a story. This is a real story about a millionaire who goes by the name of Eugene Lang, L-A-N-G. Eugene Lang made a great difference in the life of a class, a sixth grader class in the city of New York. Eugene was asked to speak to this class of 59 students. The age was around 11 to 12 years old. So he was thinking to himself, what can I say to inspire this group of people? Because this group of students come from a school where the statistics shows that most of them would end up dropping out of high school. So he wondered to himself, what can I even begin to do to catch their attention? This group of students consists predominantly of people who have an African and Puerto Rican background. So as he was wondering to himself, he looked at his prepared speech. Then after a little while, he decided to throw away his speech and he wanted to speak from his heart. And this was what he spoke to the students then. And I'll quote, he said this, "Stay in school and I will help pay the college tuition for everyone of you," unquote. Wow, stay in school and I'll pay for the college tuition for every one of you. At that moment, the lives of those students changed. For the very first time in their life, they had hope. Said one of the students, "Now I have something to look forward to, something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling," this student said. Now, nearly 90% of that class went on to graduate from high school. Hope is powerful. Everyone needs hope. And this is even more so in the times that we are living right now, in this pandemic-filled world. Our way of lives has been badly affected. There are many restrictions in our daily life. We couldn't move around as freely as we did before, meeting our friends, having a good time, worshipping together as a church. Many people are getting fatigued with the numerous Zoom meetings and the endless safe entry check-ins. More people will be losing their jobs in the coming months. Our economy, our future are rather uncertain. Even though we declared that we have the victory, the truth is that we may still feel a little bit defeated, discouraged, and disappointed. Well, this is the prime time where God can come in and fill our hearts with His hope. Our hope in Christ will never, ever fail us. Hope, H-O-P-E, hang on, pain ends. Our hope in Christ will never, ever fail us. But the question that we beg to ask ourselves today is this question: what is the Holy Spirit's role when it comes to hope? How does the Holy Spirit fill us with the hope of Jesus Christ? But with that, I'd like to invite you to have a Bible, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesian church to explain to them the wonders and the significance of salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul reminded the Jewish believers that they were chosen according to God's plan to be the first to hope in Christ. The Jewish people were supposed to be exhibit A of the grace, the goodness, and the hope that we can have in Christ Jesus. Let's look at that two verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul wrote these words. Paul says, "In Him, we..." He used the word "we" because Paul is also a Jew. So he was identifying himself with the Jewish believers. He said, "In Him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will." Now, verse 12. "In order that we," the Jewish believers, "who were first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory." So Paul says that we, the Jewish people, were the first to hope in God. God's plan was to use us to show forth the glory, the hope that the world can have in Christ. Now let's move on to the next two verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. These are the key texts for today. Now, in these two verses, in verses 13 and 14, Paul wrote to say that this privilege of being God's people is now extended also to the Gentile believers. It is not a privilege that's exclusively kept for the Jewish believers. Now, through Christ, this privilege to be God's people is also extended to both the Jew and the non-Jew, to the Jew and the Gentile. And then he said this: through the Holy Spirit, now both the Jewish believers as well as the Gentile believers, they can now, or rather, we can now all have hope in Christ. Now, let's look at that two verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Wherever you are watching this broadcast, either at home or you're in some transport, moving around, or you're in the toilet, washroom, wherever you are, can I invite you to read these two verses together with me? The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Let's read the Word of God together. In verse 13, Paul says, "And you," talking about the Gentiles, the non-Jew, "also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believe," Paul wrote, you were marked in Him with a seal. What is this seal? The promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. The title for today's sermon, When We Need Hope. From these two verses, there are two things I'd like to unpack for us with regards to how the Holy Spirit enable us to have our hope in Christ. Let's look at the two points together, shall we? The first thing we can learn from these two verses is, number one, the Spirit is evidence that we belong to God. The Spirit is evidence that we belong to God. Now let's look at verse 13. Paul wrote, and you, the Gentile believers, the non-Jewish people, also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So Paul is saying, like your counterpart, the Jewish believers, now you, the Gentile believers, are also included in God's glorious salvation plan. Now let's look at the second part of verse 13. When you believe, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When you, like the Jewish believers, come to faith in God, you were marked in Christ with a seal, a chop in our Singapore language. A seal. What is that? The promised Holy Spirit. Is it the promised Holy Spirit here refers to the prophecy that was made in the book of Joel, written in the Old Testament. The book of Joel, last week it was surfaced to us, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, the Bible says this in verse 28 and 29. And afterward, this is in the Old Testament, the prophet Joel says, and afterward, in a day that is to come, there's going to come a day, the prophet Joel says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. God will pour out His Spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see vision. Verse 29, even on my servants, both men and women, God says, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. This was a prophecy made in Joel chapter 2. Some 500 over years later, on the day of Pentecost, on Acts chapter 2, this prophecy was fulfilled. Praise God. Now, all of us New Testament believers, when we come to faith in Christ, because of what Christ had done on the cross for us, He died, He paid for the price of our sin, He overcame death, He resurrected, He went back to be with the Father, and He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us here on planet Earth. So when we, the New Testament believers, come to faith in Christ, the Bible tells us that we are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now you must understand the significance of what a seal means. You see, during the time of writing, a seal carries the meaning of authentication and ownership. You see, cargoes were sealed before they were being shipped. Letters were sealed to guarantee that the content was true and valid. In Singlish, the kind of English that we speak in Singapore, it would be like confirmed and chopped. Once you come to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit left a seal upon you, or rather God left a seal upon you, the Holy Spirit, to say that you are confirmed and chopped. You belong to God. So the Holy Spirit is a seal given by God as evidence that we belong to God. Would you declare together with me, if you are already a Christ follower, would you say it together with me, either out loud or at least say it with great conviction in your heart? Let's say it together. The Holy Spirit is evidence that I belong to God. The Holy Spirit is evidence that I belong to God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, this was a verse that we looked at in part number 1. The Bible said this. Let's look at the second part of verse 9. The Bible says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. In other words, if we belong to Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ. If we have the Spirit of Christ, we have the assurance that we belong to Christ. And if we belong to Christ, it means that we have hope, even during the worst of times. We can always have hope because we belong to Christ. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Let's look at that one verse together, shall we? The Bible says that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. An anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Our hope in Christ is unshakable. Even through the darkest nights, even through the worst of the worst of the worst of the storms, even when the ocean is tossing and turning, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. You see, friends, when we are afraid, we can pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and birth it into our hearts, reminding us that we belong to God. You need not fear. Why? Because God is with us. When we feel lost, we can pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and birth it into our spirit, reminding us that we belong to God. Just as God led the Israelites through the wilderness, cloud in the day, fire in the night, the God of Israel is still guiding us. We belong to Him. The Spirit of God longs to take the Word of God, the Logos, the written Word of God, and to birth it into Rhema, the spoken, the quickened Word of God, to remind us that we truly belong to God. And if we truly belong to God, our hope is secure. We can always place our hope and our trust in God. You know, there's a pastor friend of mine. He was a little bit jaded. He was going through a bad patch. So he decided to go on a retreat. After the retreat, he came back a completely changed man. He was so in love with God. The smile on his face, the joy in his heart, they were infectious. And then we saw him, we asked him, we said, "What did God speak to you during your retreat?" And this was what he said to us. He said this: "Through the Holy Spirit, I came to learn this one thing. Only one thing. Do you want to know what this one thing was?" We say, "Come on, stop playing with us. Tell us, what is this one thing?" And then he continued. He said, "I have learned this one thing. Jesus is Lord." So we look at him and say, "Okay, Jesus is Lord. And then he said this. Well, he said that if Jesus truly is Lord and I belong to Him, what is there to be afraid of? If Jesus is Lord and I truly belong to Him, I can trust in Him fully. See, this Jesus is Lord thing and I belong to God thing is no longer just a kind of a saying on a poster, words written on a book, words written on the Bible. This Jesus is Lord and I belong to Him thing is now a revelation to Him. He came to a point where the Holy Spirit spoke to Him and He know that He know that He know that He know that Jesus is Lord and He belong to God. There's nothing that He needs to be afraid of. He can fully entrust His one and only life to God. How about us? You know, I sound like a broken record because I've said so many times, not only during this pandemic, even before this pandemic, in all these years as a church, as your senior pastor, I've spoken to you so many times. It is so important that we all stay in close communion with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is nearer than you imagine. The Holy Spirit longs to commune with you more than you long to commune with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit longs to speak to us, not because we have special ability. The Holy Spirit longs to speak to us because we long to commune with Him, because we long to listen to Him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, one more time. The Bible says, since we live by the Spirit, since we live by the Spirit. You see, friends, we are not physical beings having temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having temporary physical experience. Our spirit is going to live forever. Even when we pass on from this life to the next, our flesh, our physical body will waste away. But our spirit lives forever. Since, the Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us walk closely. Let us stay in close communion with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, number one, is evidence that we belong to God. That's the first thing we can learn. The second thing we can unpack from these two verses is number two, the Spirit is assurance that we will receive our inheritance. The Spirit is assurance that we will receive our inheritance. Now let's look at the two verses one more time. Let's look at verse 13. The Bible says, second part, when you believe, excuse me, when you believe, you are marked in Him with a seal, a stamp, a chop, Singapore language, the promised Holy Spirit. It tells us that we belong to God. Verse 14, this Spirit, who, Spirit is not a thing, it's a person, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. The Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing or a down payment assuring us of our glorious inheritance in Christ. In simpler words, the Holy Spirit is God's pledge to us that He will fulfill His promise and complete His good plan in us. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is God's pledge that He will fulfill His promise and complete His good and perfect plan in each and every one of our lives. Paul wrote the same thing in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Let's go through that two verses together. The Bible says, verse 21, now it is God who made both us and you, us, Paul and his apostolic team, you, the church in Corinth, stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, verse 22, and set his seal of ownership on us. We belong to God. And put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. The Spirit tells us that we belong to God. The Spirit is also God's pledge that the God who began this good work in us will fulfill his promise and complete his plan in us. Now, but the truth of the matter is this. When we go through tough times, perhaps some of you, you're going through a challenging time right now. Perhaps in your studies, times are a bit tough. Examinations is coming. You fear the worst. You're not very assured of how your result is going to be like, whether you're going to get promoted to the next year or not. Maybe some of you, the results are already out and you're not doing too well. Perhaps some of us, our family is in a shamble. This COVID-19 thing revealed to us more than a health issue. It reveals to us that there are great cracks in our family life. Our relationship with our parents, our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with our children. Perhaps some of us, we are doing poorly in the area of our spiritual life because of our restriction that we are not able to meet together. Our spiritual life is going south and rather quickly. In the midst of this present climate, in the struggle, truth be told is that it is hard for us to imagine that God truly has a good plan for our life. It's hard to believe that God longs to fulfill his good promise and complete his perfect plan in each and every one of our life. It's not easy. Now, let me tell you a story about a leader in our church. At the end of 2018, after completing his last examination paper, this leader received a call from his dad telling him that he will not be home that night because he had just killed someone in a road accident. Upon receiving this news, his world crumbled. He began to think to himself that throughout this whole examination period, he continued to give God his best. He didn't stop serving God. Why did God allow this to happen? He was angry with God and he began to doubt God's goodness. He said to himself, what good can possibly come out from this? At the beginning of the 7-month court case, he continually doubted the goodness of God in his life. However, as he took the time to reflect and to pray, he was reminded of how God has always been faithful in his life. How God has always been faithful in turning bad things into good things throughout his entire life. God has never, ever failed him once. So he came to a point in his life where he decided to continue to pray and to continue to trust and to continue to put his hope in God. And it was at that moment that God began to do his best work in his father's life. Because the father didn't have to work, the father began to open up his heart to Jesus by following his son to a church service, and the father even attended a student camp together with his son. And it was during the camp that the father saw how the student around his son celebrated his son's birthday for him. The love and the affirmation that were displayed was something that the father has never experienced before in his life. To say that he was amazed would be quite an understatement. Even though both the mom and the dad has yet to come to a place where they cross the line of faith to ask Jesus into their life as their Lord and Savior, their hearts right now are definitely more open than before. So amid this challenging time, our leader continue to pray in the Spirit, continue to keep his hope in God. He continued to wait patiently, and he trusts that the God that he worship is a God that will turn all things for the good of those who love him. Some of you may be in this situation. I want to let you know that God is still in control. You know, last week was a very tough week for our church in Argentina. One of our leaders in Hope Argentina, he passed on because of COVID-19. He was healthy, hardly sick, contracted the disease, and passed on, leaving behind 3 young girls and his wife. So Pastor Andrew was heartbroken. They came together, they seek God, they pray. And as they pray, instead of being sad, the whole church began to celebrate the life and the legacy of this man of God. And they have decided that as a church, they're going to help their family to go do well financially, but more than that, going to help the family to raise the 3 girls, to disciple them, so that together as a family, the mom and the 3 young girls, they will come to a place where they will continue to serve God just as their father did. Perhaps some of you have come to a point where times are so hard that you already ran out of words to describe how disappointed you feel. You run out of vocabulary. You can only sigh. Oh, how's things with you? Oh, even though the people around you may not understand what you're going through, but I want to let you know that God understands. And this is how it is like when we pray in the Spirit. The Spirit of God helps us to pray with wordless groan, interceding for us according to God's will. The Spirit helps us, reminding us, interceding for us according to the good promise and the perfect plans that God has for us in our lives. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and verse 27. Let me read for you. The Bible says in verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We are so weak. We don't know what to pray anymore. We come to a place where we feel that hope has evaded us. We do not know, the Bible says, what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groan. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, perhaps this year, some of us, as we look back, we look through our victory card, we're so thankful. Because at the beginning of this year, we wrote down some things that were impossible. That was impossible in our sight. But God help us. The Spirit of God help us. And we're so grateful. We can pray in the Spirit, thanking God. We ran out of words. We don't know how to thank God sufficiently anymore. We pray in the Spirit, say, thank you, God. We just express our gratitude towards God. Or perhaps some of you, You look at our victory cards. There are certain areas in your life. You say, God, doesn't seem to be coming to pass. I was speaking to a leader during the week. He told me that beginning of this year, he wrote that his family relationship will grow during the year. COVID hits. Instead of going north, the family relationship deteriorated and went south. I told him that I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you, trusting God that God's good promise and perfect plan will still be fulfilled in your life. Pray in the Spirit. Maybe some of you are in that situation. I want to urge you to pray in the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God to intercede for us. Now, this is how we're going to respond today. In a moment's time, I'm going to invite you to pray in the Spirit. Now, just listen for a little while. I know that in recent months, for the past, I don't know, 7, 8 months, we've been meeting in this fashion. You know, after a little while, this whole church online thing can become like a spectator sport. We just be a spectator and watch the service. It's like being a spectator watching soccer. The people run, the people on the field, they exercise, they get fitter, but we're still the same. So if not careful, we watch online, we can come to a place where we're just a spectator. We watch the service, but our heart, we're not engaged. And as a result, the Holy Spirit cannot do His best work in our life. So in a moment's time, I want to urge you not to be a spectator, but to be a participant. I want you to stand up. I want you to kneel down. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to do something. Move out of the spectator mode and move into the participant mode. Move out of the stand and get into the playing field. Because God, the Holy Spirit, longs to do a work in your heart. So you are watching this broadcast, you know that you need God to do some work in your heart, either to remind you that Jesus is Lord and you belong to Him, there is no need to fear, or to come to a place where you need this assurance, this pledge from God that He will fulfill His promise and complete His plan in your life. I'd like to urge you to pray together with me. So are you ready right now? Can I just invite you to just lift your hands right now? Would you just lift your hands and just pray together with me in the Spirit? Come, let's stand. Let's stand wherever you are. Shikula baha baba kada baheda bahamba baba bakada bahade beheda bahamba. Shekela bahamba baba kande beheda ba shekela bahamba baba bakada bahamba baba kada beheda bahamba. Holy Spirit, take the word of God and birth it into our hearts. Holy Spirit, intercede for us according to God's will. Shikula bahamba baba bakade beheda bahamba. She ba 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 kade beheda baham ba 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 kade beheda baham ba 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 she ba 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 shukula beheda la ba sakala beheda baham ba 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 kade beheda baham ba 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 kade beheda baham ba 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 she sholo bo ba 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 kade beheda baham ba 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 intercede for yourself shikela baham ba 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 shale beheda baham ba baham de beheda ba ba kade beheda baham ba ba come on press in oh more 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 of you Holy Spirit shikela baham de beheda baham ba ba bakala baham ba 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 oh de behela baham ba ba bakala behela baham ba ba la behela baham ba 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 la bakala baham ba 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 sheh kala mahan de la baham ba 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 bakala behela baham ba. Spirit of God, do your work. Minister to every heart. Lord, we don't want to be a spectator. We want to be engaged in the work of the Holy Spirit, the enabler of our victory. When we feel hopeless, You intercede for us in accordance to God's will. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. You are doing a new work in our hearts. Continue to bless the people, O God. Minister to us, O God. Amen. Amen. Now, just hang on with me for a little while. I want you to pray also. You know, one of the things that I am deeply concerned about is that because of this COVID-19 situation, we cannot gather together. You know, God created us to live in relationship. Relationship with Him, relationship with one another. Vertical, horizontal. That's how the cross is made complete. I want you to take some time to pray for the people around you, the people in your life group. Just pray a prayer of blessing over the people in your life group. As the Holy Spirit brings to mind, we pray for them right now, shall we? We just take time and pray for them in the Spirit. We just bless the people in our life group. Let our hearts be connected to them. Even though we may not be able to meet as often as we can or meet as we should, but we pray that the Spirit in us will continue to intercede for our brothers and sisters such that through the Spirit, we can be one. Let's pray together. Come. Hallelujah. Pray. Come on, pray, pray. Pray for your life group leader. Pray for your life group members. Pray for one another. Shikida bahamba baba kada behida bahamba ba shikala bahamba baba kada behida bahamba. Oh Lord, shikumba mama bala behida bahamba baba kada behinde. Lord, we intercede for our life group members. We pray for their well-being. We pray that Lord, even while we are apart, Lord, that your Spirit will continue to work in them. You will continue to bless them. You will continue to minister to them. You continue to protect them. You will continue to cause their soul to prosper in you. The Word of God, the Word of God will continue to speak powerfully in their lives, oh God. Lord, we are one. We are different parts of the body, but we are one body. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that you will bless us, that you will guide us, oh Lord. We honor you, oh God. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, today, we're going to take the communion together. And this communion is a victory meal. It's a meal where we remember not only the death of Christ, but we will celebrate the resurrection of Christ. So this series is the last key series for this entire year. We want to end this on a victorious note. Not because of program, but because of what Christ has done for each and every one of us. We want to, through this communion meal, seal our hope and our victory in Jesus Christ. So would you just reach out to your communion element right now? If you don't have, you just do an imaginary one, all right? Just e-communion, just in your mind. So Father, we lift up this communion cup before you. The biscuit, the bread, represented the body of Christ that was broken for us. The juice, representing the blood of Christ that was shed for us. Lord, you died, but you didn't stay dead. You resurrected and you are alive right now. In Christ, we have won. In Christ, we have the victory. Through the Holy Spirit, we can have hope in you, a hope that will never fail us. We drink this in remembrance of the work that you have done for us, the sacrifice you have paid for us, and the victory you have bought for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's partake together, shall we? Body of Christ, broken for us. Blood of Christ, shed for us. Praise God. Now, there's some of you here, the truth about you is that you have yet to come to a place where you receive Jesus into your life. You have never come to a place where you ask Jesus to come into your life as your Lord and your Savior. You may grow up in a Christian family. Your spouse may be Christian. Your parents may be Christian. Your children may be Christian. You may even come from a country where it is called a Christian nation. But the truth is that you have never ever come to a place where you personally invite Jesus into your life as your Lord and your Savior. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And the most important decision you can ever make is to ask Jesus to come into your life. And by confessing that you are a sinner, you ask Jesus to take away all your sin so that you can have a right standing before God. So that you can live the victorious life that God has destined for you. If this is you, I want you right now to type the word yes. Yes, Y-E-S in the chat group. Either on Facebook or Church Online, you type the word yes. Telling God and telling yourself that yes, I'm going to come to a place. I want Jesus in my life. Type yes right here, right now. Type yes. Say yes to Jesus. Now, either you type yes or didn't type yes, but you know you need Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray together with me. Right, this prayer is a prayer where we invite Jesus to come into our life. Please close your eyes, bow your heads, and repeat after me. Mean what we pray, and pray what you mean. Pray together with me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I want to thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to become the kind of person I was created to be. I pray all this in Jesus' name." And everyone say, "Amen." God bless you.